In our study of the early church, as recorded in the book of Acts, we have come now in chapter 11 into the occasion when the church had a great ingathering of souls down in Antioch. If you have your Bibles, and we'll open the book of Acts at chapter 11 and turn to verse 26. And there we will find the report of what happened after Barnabas had gone down to Antioch to help in teaching the young converts, the new converts, the full meaning of the Christian life and experience, and how he had decided to go to Tarsus to seek Saul and bring Saul over to teach. And this he had done. So now we turn in chapter 11, Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and we read these words. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And by the way, that's a very suggestive thing if you stop to think about it. With Barnabas having preached to them, and now Saul preaching to them, think of keeping them there for a whole year. You see, there's far more to the Christian gospel and to understanding it than a person can get in one message, or even in a week of messages. It is a matter of learning these things. It isn't so much that it takes that long to say it. Let us say it just takes that long to learn it. In other words, these Christians would need to hear it over and over and over and over again. That's the way the learning takes place. It's here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, word after word after word. That's how one comes to believe and how one comes to understand. Sometimes I meet people who have a real problem because they are not able to believe the gospel. And when I check with them, I find that they have the outline of the gospel in their mind, but they just can't believe it. So I ask them, are you listening to preaching about it? No. Well, you should. And oftentimes the feeling is, well, I know what it is. Yes, you know what it is, and yet you don't know what it is. You know what it is in so many words, but not always do you know what those words mean. And the meaning of those words comes to you as you hear them again and again and again. Now, naturally, when these people would teach day after day, week after week, month after month for a whole year, and would say many times the same things, that doesn't mean they'd say them in the same way. It wasn't as if they had memorized their material by rote and got up and recited it every day. That's not how it is done. But they talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it in this way and that way and the other way. And as you do, you learn. I'm drawing your attention to the fact that when Barnabas and Saul were undertaking to get that congregation thoroughly grounded in their Christian faith and experience, that Saul stayed there for a whole year. That would be as if you could, by some chance, be able to secure a great evangelist for your church. Just think of the most outstanding evangelist that you know, and you would consider yourself very fortunate if you could have him in your church for a week. Well, now just think of what it would mean if you could have that very same man in your church for a year. And that's the way it was here. They assembled for a whole year. They assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. That means there were large crowds of people came to listen, because I'm sure that Paul's teaching was not only interesting, it was dynamic, it was likely challenging, and the people came to listen. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Well, now you see, when they were called Christians, I want you to notice that that word was used very much like a nickname. When they were called Christians or Christ people, you understand, of course, what the push there is. It's the emphasis is upon Christ. There was so much talking about Christ. There was so much talk about believing in Christ. There would be so much talking about living in Christ and walking in Christ and serving Christ that the neighbors just nicknamed them Christ people, nicknamed them Christians. And that's where the word comes from. It makes me think of something I picked up when I was in Brazil a few years ago. I had the privilege of being down there and having some association with our mission work in Brazil. And I was very much interested to hear that in one section of Brazil, the Protestant converts are called Bibles. Would you believe that? That's the nickname that the community gives them. They're called Bibles. Of course, for that matter, all the Protestants down there are called believers. That's just the word. That's the word they use. They just call them believers. And everybody knows what you mean when you call about believers. Believers are these Protestant converts. But in one section of Brazil, they're called Bibles. And surely one wouldn't have to guess what means had been used for training them or for educating them. These people would be found with the Bible so much that other people just nicknamed them Bibles. So it was with these disciples at Antioch. They would be so much interested in the Lord Jesus Christ that people just nicknamed them Christians. And now in the latter part of that chapter, verses 27 to 30, there is an incident that is very natural. I want to read it all as one unit, and then I want to make some comment about it, because this is the early church at Antioch. You will remember in our earlier studies we had the early church in Jerusalem, and then we had the church with some of it, material about the church, in Samaria. This is the early church at Antioch. So let me start reading in chapter 11 at verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now that's the story. The incident would seem very natural, and for a Christian person would seem very normal. But now I want to look at it more closely and pick out some things here for our information that will help us. In these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Did you notice again the communication between these two branches of the church? Jerusalem was the old, settled church. Antioch was the new, young church that had been organized after what we would call a revival service, after an evangelistic meeting. And the old church sent down preachers. Preachers came from Jerusalem, the old established church, to Antioch, this young missionary church. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit. That is to say, he preached as led by the Spirit. He found himself preaching as he was led to preach, that there should be great dearth throughout all the world. Now, the word dearth, of course, means a drought. We would commonly use the word drought. It wasn't going to rain. And if there wasn't any rain, the crops would be hard put, as you and I would say. Many of the crops wouldn't materialize. The fields would suffer because of no rain. There would be a great drought, which means that crops would be short and small, and famine would be close at hand. Throughout all the world. Now, this phrase, all the world, to us, of course, that sweeps around the globe. It didn't mean that in that time. It didn't mean that to these people. Usually, the word world was oftentimes used the way you and I would use the word country. In the whole country, you and I would say, in the whole world, some other people would say. In other words, it could refer to that area in which they were existing at the time. And when it says here that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, wouldn't need any more than need to mean any more, actually, that there would be a great drought throughout the whole countryside in that part of the Mediterranean world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. One should have in mind, with reference to this portion of this chapter, that this doesn't refer to something that happened in 2 weeks' time. This is not a matter that occurred in 10 days, that after these apostles had preached and Saul had preached and the disciples were called Christians, that right the next week this incident occurred. No, this is a kind of finishing up the report so far as the church at Antioch is concerned. We don't know when this particular incident occurred. It may have been months or years after the time that Saul was there. The disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. That reminds us exactly how it was toward the end of the third chapter of the book of Acts, the way the early church acted toward each other in the city of Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, at the end of the second chapter in the book of Acts, you will find that in Jerusalem, those disciples were so close to each other that if any one of them lacked anything, anybody else had anything, he'd share what he had with the one that lacked, so that there'd be enough to go around. Now, that's the way the church did, and here the way they did it, not only among themselves, but from one section of the country to another section of the country. This would indicate to you that the spirit that prevailed in this church was just the same kind of spirit that prevailed in the church in Jerusalem. And it indicates that this is what you can expect when you find people that are inwardly moved by the Spirit of God. Now, when you ask yourself about this, let me ask you a question. While this was a distinguishing mark of the Christian church, that they should be charitable and give to the poor, I want you to notice that this was not particularly the result of any preaching about this, nor of teaching about this action. These people were so generous not because their preachers preached stewardship, not because their preachers pushed them to give. If you look back and think about how the early church felt about things, do you remember how, when we were reading about Philip going down to Samaria and preaching and a large number of the Samaritans believing, and the early church sent Peter and John down there, do you remember what it was for? Remember what Peter and John were to do? It wasn't that they were to go down and show those people how to act. It wasn't to tell them that they should give to the poor. It told them that they should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they sent those two men down there to lead them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now here in Antioch, when Barnabas was sent, they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad, exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. No talk about giving to the poor. I wanted to say to you that the thing that makes a person a Christian is his personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Such personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will move a man to give to others because, of course, loving your neighbor is the second great commandment, like unto the first, which is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Our God and Heavenly Father, we pray thy blessing upon our own hearts as we learn about the Lord, and help us as we learn more and more about him, that we may yield ourselves into his will so that his Holy Spirit may move us to be gracious and kind to other believers. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.